Our relationships that we have in life are one of the most precious blessings that we could ever possess. It's in those relationships that others encourage us, don't they? It's in those relationships that we oftentimes find great strength. Within our relationships with other individuals, there is much joy. And oftentimes, those individuals who are in relationships with us assist us in any way they possibly can. And it is in our relationships that we oftentimes find protection. But relationships can also bring some of the most severe hurts that could ever be brought into an individual's life. You see, it's possible for those that we are close to do us wrong. Sometimes individuals can do us wrong unintentionally. They're not trying to harm us. They're not trying to hurt us, and yet they do. And then there are other times when individuals don't hesitate to harm us and hurt us intentionally. And that's true even in the closest of relationships. The title of our lesson this morning is simply this: When Others Do Us Wrong. We've got 4 points that we're going to be covering. And we'll be here till about 6 tonight, so I hope you ate well, because there are a lot of things to cover. First thing I want to note are some scriptural examples of individuals who are hurt by other people. One of the first ones about which we read is Jacob and Rebekah. These two individuals schemed and plotted one with another just so they could go and steal Esau's blessing. And when it transpired, Esau was wounded severely by his brother, wasn't he? We read too where Judah hurt his daughter-in-law. Judah's daughter-in-law had been married to one of Judah's sons, and he died and left her a widow with no children. Another son refused to give her children, which was one of the requirements of the law, and God smote that son. And Judah told his daughter-in-law, "You go home to your father, you wait till my youngest son is old enough, and I will give you him to bear you a child for your husband." And yet, that time never came. Judah never fulfilled his vow to that woman. Miriam and Aaron, they hurt Moses, didn't they? On one occasion in the wilderness, these two rose up together against him and came against him and even questioned his authority. "Don't we have as much authority as you do? We should be ruling just like you are ruling." Can you imagine a brother and a sister rising up in opposition to you as their brother? Samson approaches his mother and his father, and he makes an interesting request of them. He desires for them to go and get him a Philistine bride. And they immediately question him, do they not? "Are there not women who are of Judah, who are of Israel, that we could provide for you?" And he absolutely refused and stood in violation of the law of God. Ahithophel, David's chief counselor, a man in whom he had put much trust, rose up with Absalom and conspired against David in an attempt to overthrow the kingdom. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Hurt brought to David. Judas betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, didn't he? Can you imagine when that mob came into that garden and Jesus sees one of his own leading the mob and even betrays him with a kiss? And we hear the words, don't we? Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Peter too disappointed the Lord, didn't he? Peter was allowed there in the palace, and three times he was confronted about being a disciple of Jesus, and three times he denied that. Once, the Bible says, he even cursed and swore that he was not a disciple. Jesus was in hearing range that last time, and the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked on Peter. Can you imagine how Jesus felt deep inside to know that his disciple had denied him? John Mark disappointed Paul on that first missionary journey, didn't he? John Mark was just a young evangelist. He was in training. But they get into the regions of Galatia, and immediately John Mark, for some reason, turns back and goes to Jerusalem. And when it came time for that second missionary journey, Paul wanted nothing to do with the man. Paul had been hurt by the departure of John Mark. Paul was sitting in a Roman prison when he writes 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he says this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Here's a man who was a friend, an associate of the Apostle Paul, a Christian, supposed to be a faithful, dedicated servant of the Apostle Paul. And yet, when it came time to stand with Paul, oh no, Demas has forsaken me, Paul says. Just four verses later, Paul makes note of another man by the name of Alexander, and he says, "Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much evil." That's just 10 of many examples in Scripture of individuals who are hurt and wounded by individuals who are very close to those people. Sometimes as close as family, weren't they? And yet they were still wounded. The question that we might ask, and this is point number two, is this: why? Why would someone who is close to me, why would someone that I love, that I adore, bring harm and hurt to my life? Why would they do such a thing? Now you know why we'll be here till 6. Because there's hundreds of answers to that question, aren't there? I've only listed 50. No, I'm kidding. Number one, selfishness. Have you ever looked up the word selfishness to see what it really is defined as? Dictionary.com says this: devoted to or caring only for one's self. It continues with these words: concerned primarily with one's own interest, with one's own benefits, with one's own welfare, watch this, regardless of others. Selfishness. You see, there are some individuals, even though they're in a relationship with us, they could care less. They're selfish. They really don't care about us. At least they care more for self than about us. In Bible times, a father would bring in his children, and before he died, he would bless them. And if you were the eldest son, you would receive the most bountiful of all the blessings that could be bestowed upon the children. We made mention in our first point about Rebecca and Jacob. Rebecca heard Isaac tell Esau to go and kill a deer and bring back that savory meat, and when you do, I will bless you. You see, Esau was the firstborn, wasn't he? When Rebecca heard those words, she immediately took action. You see, she was close, not to Esau, but to Isaac, wasn't she? And the Bible says that she commanded her son and he obeyed. What did she want him to do? She says, go. Fetch two goats from the field and bring them to me, and I will prepare, she says, savory meat that thy father loveth. And thou shalt take it into thy father and give it him. And listen to this. And he shall bless thee. It was a plot. It was a plan. It was a scheme in order to steal a blessing. Why? Because of two hearts of selfishness. That's why. I want this son to have the blessing. The one that I love. The one that I appreciate. The one who adores me, and regardless of how Esau feels about it, will steal the blessing. And they were successful. Selfishness causes others to hurt us. How about this next one? Greed. Greed is defined as the rapacious desire for wealth and possession. Old Judas loved money. Did you know that? If we were going to describe the heart of Judas, we could describe it as a heart of covetousness. And it was manifested long before his betrayal of the Christ. You see, Judas was the treasurer for the apostles. They didn't go and put their money into a bank. Oh no, they had their treasury in a bag, and Judas was responsible for that bag. And John 12:6 says this, that Judas bore out what was put therein. A thief from the treasury of the apostles long before the betrayal. So it doesn't really surprise us, does it, that his greedy, covetous heart led him to go and betray his master for 30 pieces of silver. Matthew 26, verse 15 says this, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him to you." And they coveted together for 30 pieces of silver. What will you give me? Wow. That's the words, isn't it? Folks, that's the words of a greedy heart. I don't know what silver was valued at the time, do you? 30 pieces? Sounds like pennies, doesn't it? Silver today runs about $24, $25 an ounce. 30 pieces is not that much, is it? What will you give me? And I'll betray my Lord. I'll be a traitor against him for 30 pieces of silver. Greed. How about revenge? Do other people hurt others for revenge? Oh, yes. Remember that story we told about Judah and Tamar? I didn't tell you the rest of the story. Judah refused to give his son to Tamar. And when that transpired, Tamar decided, I'll get even with him. She finds out where Judah is. She dresses herself up like a harlot, and she goes and she stands there on the road, and Judah goes in unto her and goes back home. In the course of time, it's told Judah that Tamar's pregnant. Uh-oh. That old daughter-in-law. That one I told to go home. Such a nasty, filthy old woman. Bring her here. We'll deal with her. So she comes. But when she comes, she has Judah's signet ring. She has his bracelets, and she has his staff. By these are the man with whom I am thy child. Uh-oh. Whose were they? Judah's. That's who they were. And Judah immediately had to acknowledge that those things were his. And he says this, she hath been more righteous than I, because I did not give my son Shelah unto her. Still, it was revenge, was it not? A sad story, folks. Sorry about that. I got to preaching. Don't look at my notes. You just have to get that on your own. How about this one? A lack of love. It's hard to imagine that we can be in a relationship with somebody and yet they don't really love us. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, didn't he? I know not the man. 3 times. I find it interesting that before Jesus ascended back to the right hand of the Father, he wanted to talk to Peter, didn't he? They were on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he calls Peter out specifically. We've talked about this in our lessons about the sayings of the crucifixion. And when he had Peter standing before him, what did he ask him? Do you remember? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Simon, did you betray me because you didn't love me? Can you imagine? You see, it's possible to hurt someone because we don't love them. Fortunately, as far as Simon is concerned, he did love the Lord, didn't he? And he responded that way, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." It wasn't for a lack of love that he betrayed the Lord. It was out of fear and self-preservation that he betrayed the Lord. But the point is that it's possible for me to harm someone just because I don't love them enough. How about a lack of love for the truth? Has that ever transpired? During Jesus' earthly ministry, he took his 12 disciples and he sent them out among the nation of Israel. Jesus refers to them as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus knew what was going to transpire. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why? For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Beware of men. They're not going to like your message. They're not going to appreciate the truth. In fact, you're going to be mistreated because of the very message that you proclaim to those individuals. You see, some people will harm us because they don't like truth. Well, there's a bunch of them, folks. Sometimes, because we are deceived by someone else, we bring harm to another, don't we? What are you talking about, Vic? Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden, wasn't she? And guess who she brought harm to? the whole human race, including us. Didn't she? There are some times that individuals just have an evil, wicked heart, and they'll harm you. Talking to some individuals the other day, and they said, you know, if I go to New York, I will not be riding the subway. There are individuals who will come and just push you in front of a coming train. There are individuals come and just hit you in the head as hard as they can in order to knock you out. And if you ask them why, they say this, because it's fun. Folks, people like that just have a wicked, evil heart, don't they? Sometimes we harm others because of disagreements, don't we? We don't see things eye to eye. We start talking, conversing. It turns into an argument. The argument turns into a matter of a bunch of heated emotions. And sometimes we say things, and sometimes we say do things that we never really intended to do, but we do, and we harm others, don't we? Nobody in here has ever experienced any of that. But it does happen, doesn't it? And then we noted that sometimes we can be harmed unintentionally by someone else. They never really meant to do it, and yet it transpired. I'd love to do it sometime, just a lesson about that. Unintentional harming. As I was thinking about this lesson, I thought, you know, why does it hurt so badly when someone does us wrong? Why does it happen? Folks, relationships are supposed to be built on a foundation of absolute trust, aren't they? And we talk about trust. I love this definition. Putting part or all of my care into the hands of another person. I don't have to do that. But if I trust you, I'm willing to do that. When we trust others, we give them many things, do we not? We give them our thoughts. We give them our words. We give these individuals our reputations. Sometimes we give these individuals our bodies, don't we? Your doctor, your nurse, your dentist. You tell them, here's my body. I trust you. Take care of me. Sometimes we give those individuals our family, don't we? We'll give those individuals our finances. In other words, what we are doing is we are giving this individual our overall well-being. I trust you. And I'm going to give you all of these things about myself. Why? Because I know that you'll love me. I know that you'll assist me. You'll give me aid. You'll protect me. And you'll never do me wrong. Isn't that why we do it? But you see, the very minute that you and I give trust to another person, we make ourselves vulnerable, don't we? You see, now there's the risk of exposure. Those words and those thoughts and those emotions that I have manifested to this trusted friend can be exposed to another person. There's the risk of being taken advantage of, isn't there? There's the risk of this individual using us and manipulating us. There's the risk of this individual taking us and just casting us by the wayside. See, the minute I put my trust in somebody, I'm vulnerable to hurt. And when trust is violated, that's when the hurt comes, doesn't it? our person is harmed. By that I mean our words, our reputations, maybe even our body, our family. But it runs even deeper than that, doesn't it? When somebody hurts us, it not only affects the outward man, but it affects the inward man. The wound goes all the way to the heart, doesn't it? And what's interesting is you find many people who, after they've been hurt, physically, they're fine. They regain their finances. They put their family back together, but sometimes they never recover from the emotional scars. Never. I was trying to find a passage of Scripture that shows us the hurt that an individual feels when he's been violated, when another has broken trust. And David talks about it in Psalm 55, 12 through 14. Listen to what he says. "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have" what? "I could have borne it. It was not he that hated me that despitefully or did magnify himself against me. Then I could have hidden myself from him." David says it wasn't somebody that was an enemy. It wasn't somebody who disliked me. Who was it, David? "But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. And we took counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." Do you hear David's heartache? All because an individual chose to bring hurt into his life. Not an enemy, not somebody who hated him, a close friend and a close associate. It happens, doesn't it? Now the question is this: how do you handle being hurt by someone else? That's the most important thing. Number one, pray for the person. Pray for the person. Here's something that we don't understand. An individual who harms us in some sense becomes our enemy, doesn't he? I'm not talking about the unintentional harm. And when an individual becomes our enemy, Jesus tells us exactly what we need to do for that individual. And He says, pray for your enemies. But in Matthew 5, verse 44, listen to these words: "Pray for them which despitefully use you." And that's what people do sometimes, don't they? Pray for them. Number two, take the wrong without seeking vengeance. Oh, it hurts, doesn't it? And sometimes it hurts us so bad that we just get angry and we just want to spew our wrath upon that individual, don't we? Don't do that. In the church at Corinth, Paul writes to that church in chapter 6, and they were going to law one with another. Can you imagine? And the problem was that it was over insignificant, frivolous things. Some translations refer to them as little scruples between brethren. When When Paul writes to them, listen to what he says. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Just because you've been hurt, just because you've been injured, does not mean that you have to rise up against the individual and do everything you can do in order to get justice against that person. The Bible says, "Beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. As it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Romans 12, verse 19. My friends, in due time, God will right every wrong in this world. Number three, don't become angry and bitter. The very moment that you and I develop hatred and bitterness and anger in our lives, we begin to dim our Christian lights, don't we? And all of that anger and all of that bitterness does nothing to the person who has wronged you. It only affects you. That's why Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know how easy it is to get rid of anger? As easy as it is to take off this jacket. That's what Paul says. Put off these things. That little word put off means exactly that. To put off as you would a jacket. Just set it aside. Quit being angry over these things. Point number four. Don't turn off all of your other relationships. Now, sometimes if an individual hurts us, what we have a tendency to do is say what? I'll never trust anybody again. And we start distancing ourselves from other close relationships that we have. Folks, not all friends and family will hurt you. You know that? Not all of them. And when we are hurt, and when we are wounded, and when we are suffering, guess what? Some of the greatest assistance that we're going to have during those times is from other friends, isn't it? The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Listen to this next statement. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got a good brother. He ain't no perfect brother. Y'all saw him when he came. He got a beard down to his feet. But he is a good guy. And folks, let me tell you, I'd put my trust totally and completely in that man. You know that? He would never intentionally harm me. But the writer of Proverbs says that there's some friendships that we can develop in this life wherein that friend will stick closer to you than a brother ever would. Wow. We need those kind of relationships, don't we? Number five, sometimes we have to confront the individual who's hurt us if there's sin that's involved in the harm. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Matthew 18, verse 15. You see, there's sometimes we have to confront, don't we? You've sinned against me. You've wounded me. You've done me wrong. And we confront that. And sixthly, and this is the scary part, if the person repents, I have to be willing to forgive that individual, don't I? Jesus says this, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a Saul entering into your house, casting you into prison, separating you from your wife and children, all because you're a Christian? And then Saul repents and becomes the Apostle Paul. And now he's a member of your congregation. How do you handle a Saul? Come here, good buddy. We'd be pretty leery of that man, wouldn't we? And the Bible says what? If he repent, forgive him. I wonder how the family of Stephen handled Saul after his conversion, don't you? There's an old adage that says something like this: there are only two things that are certain in life, and almost everybody in here could say it, wouldn't you? Death and taxes. I've heard that all my life. There's a third, isn't there? If I live long enough, somebody will hurt me. Isn't that true? Folks, we need to prepare ourselves, don't we, for how we will react when another individual harms us. You might say, why do we need to do that? Because if we do, we will not be wounded nearly as deeply as we might have been. I'm ready for it. It's going to happen. It's a part of what? It's a part of life. Secondly, we can suffer the hurt and move on in a positive direction, can't we? That's one of the biggest problems about being hurt. There are many individuals who've been hurt, and all of a sudden their life just comes to an end. And those individuals can't move on because of the wound. You can't do that. You've got to keep moving forward. Number three, we've got to make certain that Satan doesn't get an advantage of us. It's so funny, when we're wounded by another, the first person we want to blame is who? God, why'd you allow this to happen? As if God wounded you or something. He didn't do anything to you. Who moved the heart of that other individual to do the things that he did? It wasn't God. Satan did that. Folks, don't we want our lights to continue to shine just as brightly as they possibly can, regardless of what happens to us? And two, we want to continue to be like and live like Christ in everything that we do. If I am prepared for somebody that's going to hurt me, I can continue to do that, even in the midst of hurt. Now, I've never stood up here and said that it's fair, that it's wonderful, that it's great, that you need to rejoice because you're hurt. Didn't say that. It's a hard time, isn't it? But hurts in life are predictable, and you and I can prepare ourselves against them. And we need to, don't we? Question. Have you ever harmed anyone? If we've harmed nobody else in our whole life, we've harmed one, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, when we sin, we wound the Savior. When you and I sin, we're individuals that cause the Spirit of God to groan. Did you know that? The way we please the Father is by obedience, though, isn't it? Are you here today and need to obey the gospel? The steps are simple. Believe in the Christ, repent of sins, confess His beautiful name, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said it plainly, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Dear Christian, have you let the hurts and difficulties of the past put a strain on your Christianity? I've seen people just totally give up Christ because of problems and difficulties in their lives. You need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you if so. If you're just unfaithful, if you have sin in your life, if you need the prayers of the church, won't you come as together we stand and sing.